Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, October 26, 2021, Psalm 25.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Psalm 25. The 25th Psalm, we are in verse 4, actually verses 4 through 7. Dealing with divine guidance. Psalm 25. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. This gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul and making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing, worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have preserved for us the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. We are studying Psalm 25. This is one of the acrostic psalms. That is, it's an alphabetical psalm going through the Hebrew alphabet, each verse, 22 Hebrew letters and 22 verses. And each verse begins in the Hebrew with a word that starts with that letter. So the verse 1 is the Aleph file, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Verse 1 says, "To you, O Lord," and of course all prayer is directed to God the Father. "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul in prayer." And then verse 2, the Beth file. "In you I trust." The word there, and the first word in that verse is batak. It's the Hebrew verb that literally means to a wrestler picking up another wrestler and slamming him on the mat. So when he says, "In you I trust," David is saying, I pick up my troubles and problems and slam them on you, O my God. Do not let me become confused, and do not let my enemies rejoice in military triumph over me. And then verse 3, the Gemal file. Indeed, all of those who wait for you, who have maximum confidence in you, maximum faith rest life, they will not be put to shame or confused. However, the ones who act treacherously and deceitfully without cause, they will be put to shame and confused. And then that brought us to the Daleth file. And the Daleth file is the fourth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. This is the divine guidance file. And it actually will go on for the next few verses. During this historical crisis and national disaster of the Absalom Revolution, that's the background for David writing Psalm 25, David is going to have to make a lot of decisions, a lot of choices, and David wants and David needs God's guidance, divine guidance in his life at this time. Verse 4 says in the corrected translation, cause me, hifil stem, the causative stem of the Hebrew, cause me to know your ways, O Lord. Intensively teach me, train me in your paths. This is David's prayer for wisdom and divine guidance in times of historical crisis and national disaster. Divine guidance is the communication of the will of God through the Word of God, divine revelation. Today it is confined to the canon of Scripture, and also occasionally through the pain of divine discipline for the reversionist who is living out of fellowship with God inside Satan's cosmic system. Divine discipline and human disaster as a classification of guidance from God is limited to the negative aspect of God's will. In other words, God does employ this from time to time in order to correct you, correct your thinking, because you're not thinking the right way. You're not walking on the path of the Lord. You're walking on the path of the cosmic system. So divine discipline and disaster is God saying to you, no, you are not in my will. And therefore, divine discipline is limited to warning you, warning the believer, wake up! You're on the wrong road. You're heading over the cliff. And God doesn't want you to crash and burn, so He spanks you, warns you, discipline, pain. And if you have humility, you immediately, when that happens, go, I am 100% wrong. You point the finger at yourself. You say, I am out of line. I am wrong. Lord, I was arrogant. I was making bad decisions. I was not living the spiritual life. And thank you. I thank you that you love me so much. You got my attention. Now how you recover, and that's the thinking of a winner believer. A loser believer just keeps on going the same path, living in the cosmic system, and he does go over the cliff, and he does crash and burn. He doesn't lose his salvation, that's impossible. But he goes out under maximum divine discipline. The only way to know positively what the will of God is for your life is to get a maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart. You cannot know the will of God apart from knowing the Word of God. There are several categories of the will of God. There is the viewpoint will of God, which is what God wants you to think. There is the operational will of God, which is what God wants you to do. There is the geographical will of God, which is where God wants you to be. The will of God is also directive. God has a plan for your life. The believer in the directive will of God is in the status of fellowship with God, living the spiritual life. He's glorifying God. There is also the permissive will of God. God, you have a free will. God will let you make bad decisions. He will let you be arrogant. He will let you have negative volition and make the wrong decisions. But when you do that, then the justice of God provides divine discipline. Those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. And that's a demonstration of God's love for you. He cares so much for you that when you are out of line, out of love, He disciplines you. The believer in the permissive will of God is in the status of carnality. He is out of fellowship with God. In the directive will of God, the believer's MO is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. He is filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, fulfilling the mandate. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being empowered by God the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16. Walk by means of the Spirit and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. He fulfills the prohibition. Stop grieving the Holy Spirit. Stop quenching the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. So he is filled with the Spirit. He is consistently and faithfully assembling in a sound Bible-teaching church and growing up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, fulfilling the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18. He is executing God's plan, God's will, and God's purpose for his life. That is the MO of the believer in the directive will of God. In the permissive will of God, the believer substitutes his own human volition for divine sovereignty. The believer is using his volition contrary to the will of God. The will of God is also overruling. The overruling will of God is designed to accomplish the purpose of God, in spite of the failure of the believer. The believer out of the directive will of God enters into the permissive will of God. And under the permissive will of God, we suffer terribly. Since the permissive will of God is associated with the carnal reversionistic believer, the believer remains alive under the permissive will of God, but under terrible punishment in three categories: warning discipline, intensive discipline, and dying discipline. Divine guidance is knowing the will of God for your life related to both specific and general things. There is the short-term will of God, which is what does God want me to do today? There is the long-term will of God, which is what does God want me to do with my life? The will of God for the believer is found as you study the Scriptures. Every verb in the imperative mood, that's a command. That's a command from God to you. That's a mandate. So every verb in the imperative mood, that's God's will for your life. Every positive command is God's will for your life. Every prohibition is God's will for your life. And they are all throughout the Scriptures. That's the will of God for your life. Now, the ultimate of the will of God for the believer is found in the command of 2 Peter 3:18. Grow up spiritually. Grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate of the will of God for the believer in Jesus Christ. Now, that brings us to point three. You had the point two, right, Gary Brown? Look at that. That's why that guy's a deacon, see? He's right on top of it. Point three, all divine guidance depends on consistent and faithful metabolization of the absolute truth of the Word of God, and then its application. All divine guidance depends on consistent and faithful metabolization of the absolute truth of the Word of God. The Word of God is absolute truth. The Greek word for that is aletheia. Looks like this in the Greek. That's A-L-long-E-T-H-E-I-A, aletheia. Aletheia is absolute truth. The Lord Jesus Christ in His prayer said, Father, sanctify them in the truth, aletheia. Thy word is aletheia, absolute truth. Jesus Christ declared that the Word of God is absolute truth. Jesus Christ is absolute truth. God is absolute truth. I am the way and the truth and the life. And He says, I am the way and the truth. The word truth is aletheia. Jesus Christ said, I am the absolute truth. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to heaven where the Father is except through faith in Me. Faith in Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and this salvation is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You think you're going to be in heaven because of your good works? You're not. Not one person will be in heaven because of their good works. You're only going to be in heaven because of faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. The one who did all the work for salvation was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did all the work for salvation on the cross. While He was on the cross, God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world, poured them out on Christ, and judged them in the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all. Christ did all the work for salvation. There is nothing you can do. You add one work to what Christ did, you have no salvation. You think you're going to be in heaven? You won't. I was, when I was going to Dallas Theological Seminary, preparing for the ministry, majoring in Hebrew, minoring in Greek, I was working at Salad Master as the janitor. And they wanted me to come in when there was nobody there. So I would do my work usually around 11 or 12 midnight, 11 o'clock at night, midnight, 1 in the morning. And most of the time, nobody was there. And my job was to dump the waste baskets and clean their ashtrays and clean their desks and so on. And I was going by the vice president of Salad Master. His light was on in his office. And I thought somebody just forgot to turn the light off. So I opened the door, but he was in there working. I said, excuse me, sir, I am so sorry. I am not used to seeing somebody here at midnight. He said, that's okay, I'm working late. He says, no, come on in and do your job. That's fine. And as I came in, he goes, are you the new guy we just hired to work as a janitor here? I said, yes, sir. You're going to seminary, right? Dallas Theological Seminary. Yes, yes, sir, I am. He says, oh, he says, that's great. He says, I work for Church of Christ. I'm involved in church. In fact, he didn't say big mucky muck, but it was a big mucky muck in the Church of Christ. I said, well, that's great, sir. And I did all my work, and I was on my way out, and I said, let me just ask you one thing before I leave. He said, no, great, go ahead. What do you have to do to be in heaven? Well, you have to believe in Christ and be baptized. You have to believe in Christ and be baptized. Now, what if you're not baptized? Well, then you won't be in heaven. I said, sir, do you remember when Jesus Christ was on the cross? There were two criminals that were crucified on each side of Him. And one of those criminals looked over and placed his faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus told him, today you will be with Me in paradise. Now, he was crucified on the cross. He wasn't baptized. Nobody picked up the cross and dunked him in the Sea of Galilee. He didn't have a chance to do any works. He's nailed to a cross. Nobody nailed to a cross can do any works at all. He did no works at all. All he could do was believe in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." And then I quoted Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and this salvation is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You do the work, you get the glory. Jesus Christ does the work, he gets the glory. Jesus Christ did all the work. If you add one work to faith in Christ, you will not be in heaven. You will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Period. Over and out. Now he was one of the top people in Salad Master Corporation. And he said, he wanted to know my name. I gave it to him. He said, "Dick," he said, "I've been involved in Church of Christ for years and years and years, and they've never taught that." I said, "Of course not, because they have a religion. They have a religion, but they don't have a relationship with the living and true God, Jesus Christ. And that's only entered into one way. The most evil thing in the world is religion. That's the devil's ace trump. That's the counterfeit of what God has provided in grace. Grace means God does all the work. God the Father plans salvation. God the Son executed on the cross. God the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. There's nothing we can do. We're spiritually dead and totally depraved. There's nothing we can do. All we can do is place our faith in what Christ did for us." And he stopped and he says, "This was, thank you for talking to me. And, you know, I'm glad I stayed and worked late, because this was no accident." I said, "No, sir, it was no accident at all. God wanted you to hear this, and I believe that you'll take the time. And if you're trusting in the fact that you were baptized to get you into heaven, you're not going to be there. But if you just put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross, then you'll be in heaven. I'll see you there." And he thanked me again. And that's it. That's the grace of God. Salvation is by grace, not by works. Point three is all divine guidance depends on consistent and faithful metabolization of the absolute truth of the Word of God and then its application. All right, you have your Bibles? You have your Bibles? You have Bibles? If you don't have one, we'll give you one. All right, great. Wear it out. All right, let's go to Psalm 32, verse 8. Psalm 32, verse 8. "I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go." That's divine guidance. "I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go." Again, you're going to be, divine guidance comes from knowing the absolute truth of the Word of God. "I will counsel you with my eye upon you." Now turn over to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, verse 11. Isaiah 58. Now this is a great verse. You might want to get this one down. You might even wonder, some of you, I know you even take them and put them on your refrigerator or above the toilet paper roll or something. I don't know what. Isaiah 58, verse 11. "The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land." That's Las Vegas. See, Las Vegas is in the Bible. See, you ought to be, hallelujah, brother. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, let's start at verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, the teaching of the scriptures, the word of God, but keep my commands in your heart. What is the will of God? The will of God is revealed in every command that God gives you in his word. Keep my commands in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let grace and truth never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And then you will acquire grace and a good name in the sight of God and man. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's God's will for your life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's doing what's right in your own eyes. That's not God's will for your life. That's your own will. That's what you think is right in your own eyes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And he will make your paths straight. Divine guidance. Turn over to Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Now, you have this verb, it's an imperative, present imperative with a negative. Now, when you have a present imperative with a negative, it means to stop doing something that you're currently doing. So you translate it, stop being conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, this cosmic system. But keep on being transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's why you find a sound Bible teaching church and consistently and faithfully assemble. Why? So that you are constantly being transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renovation of your thinking from human viewpoint garbage to divine viewpoint. That's the will, and this is an imperative mood. This is God's will for your life. Two parts of the will. Stop being conformed any longer to the pattern of this cosmic system, the world, but keep on being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, when you do that, then you will be able to test and approve what the will of God is. His good and pleasing and perfect will. But only when you fulfill, keep on being transformed by the renewing of your mind, the renovation of your thinking. And that will only happen, and it's hard to find, I'll admit, but you have to find a sound Bible teaching church, and then you'd have to have two things, positive volition and humility. Humility is respect for authority. The authority of God, the authority of the Word of God, the authority of God's servant who teaches the Word of God. Keep on being transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what the will of God is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Turn over to Colossians 1:9. Colossians 1:9. See, the Bible has a lot to say about the will of God. Colossians 1:9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Turn over to 1 Peter 4. First Peter 4, verse 2. As a result, the one who places his faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, as a result of faith in Christ, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather he lives his life for the will of God. Turn over to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 36. So do not throw away as worthless Your confidence in God, your confidence in the Word of God. It will be richly rewarded. Where will it be richly rewarded? At the judgment seat of Christ, where every church age believer is evaluated following the rapture of the church. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, when you have executed God's will for your life, again, all of these commands and mandate. What is the will of God? Well, for the whole world, the will of God is to believe in Jesus Christ. And then for the ones who believe in Christ, the will of God is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all mankind, and occupation with Jesus Christ. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. In fact, let's just turn over for a moment to 1 John 3:23. I quoted that. I want you to see that I didn't just have a dream or a nightmare. That this is God's Word. 1 John 3:23. And this is His command. And the first command is for the whole human race. And that is to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the will of God. That's salvation. That's it. Plain and simple. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And that's the will of God for the whole human race. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And this is the will of God for the whole human race, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now the next command is the will of God for those who believe in Christ. And for those who believe in Christ, the will of God is to love one another as He has commanded us. And that's virtue love. That's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. When you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, the ultimate objective is you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Personal love for God the Father, which is the motivational virtue, motivates the functional virtue. Impersonal love for all, the whole human race, and the occupation with Jesus Christ. Turn over to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 20. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. For doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Turn over to Colossians 4:12. Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, communicator of the word of God, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, one of his faithful servants, an under-shepherd to communicate the grace and truth of God's word. He sends greetings. He is always going to battle in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God. So here is Epaphras, who has a phenomenal prayer life, intercessory prayer for others, and he goes to battle in prayer for these other believers, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature, spiritually mature, and fully assured. Turn over to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 15. We're going to start at verse 15. For it is God's will that by doing good... Now, I'm stop right there. This is going to be explained in the as we go on here. What is this doing good? This is grace, righteous production of a spiritually mature believer. This is the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. And when you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, there will be grace, righteous production in your life. And it will manifest itself in a lot of different ways. Some of those are described here. You should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men. Hard to do in our society today, but... Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. In other words, you're primarily here to execute the will of God, God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. Show proper respect to everyone. That is, respect the authority of everyone who is in authority. That's humility. That is the foundational virtue of the spiritual life. Love the brotherhood. That's virtue love. That is loving your fellow believer. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Doesn't make any difference who they are. You love them with virtue love, honor, integrity. That's the will of God for your life. Fear God, occupation with Christ. The most important love in your life is the Lord Jesus Christ. And because you've had virtue love brought to completion in your heart, Jesus Christ makes himself at home in your heart. And now you get to enjoy Jesus Christ moment by moment, day by day. He's in your heart. And so you fellowship with him. You love him. You know him. Because you know him, you love him. And you enjoy him. And then honor the king. And that means respect your president. Doesn't matter who, whether it's a Democrat, Republican, or pedestrian. It doesn't mean you agree with the president. It means he's the president and you have respect for authority. That's what it means. Now all of that is the will of God. So all divine guidance depends on consistent and faithful metabolization of the absolute truth of the Word of God and then its application. Four, the filling of the Spirit is a very critical and important part of divine guidance. You must be in fellowship with God. You must be living the Spirit-filled life. Turn over to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. The filling of the Spirit is a very critical and important part of divine guidance. Ephesians 5:14, we'll start at verse 14. For it is light that makes everything visible. Well, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. The Word of God is light. When you learn and believe the Word of God, you have light in your soul so that you can see God and see the will of God and the plan of God and glorify God. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper. And this doesn't mean that you are tired and you've been sleeping. This means rise from the dead. You are out of fellowship with God. This is temporal death. You're out of fellowship with God. How do you rise from the dead? This is acknowledging your sin. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you get back into fellowship with God. This death is temporal death, carnal death. You're out of fellowship through unconfessed sin in your life. And Christ will shine on you. And then verse 15. Be very careful then how you live. Are you careful as the life you're living? Where are you living your life? Are you living the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God and the power of the Word of God? Or are you living in Satan's cosmic system? Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, those who have very little or no truth of the Word of God in their soul, but as wise, those who have maximum truth of the Word of God in their soul. And then, verse 16, making the most of every opportunity. This is also translated, redeem the time. Redeem the time. Make the most of every opportunity. You're here today, you're going to be gone tomorrow. You say, well, I'm young. I'm going to be here a long time. Well, how do you know that? You don't know you're going to be here a long time. You might be here and you're a young man. And you might be dead tonight. You don't know how long you're going to live. When I was at Washington State University, there was a fellow, I was always giving the gospel to people all over, and I gave him the gospel. He happened to be Arab, and he was really arrogant, and I was starting to give him the gospel. He said, oh, Olson, I don't want to hear that stuff. I'm a college student. I'm going over to Idaho and get drunk. When I get to be an old man sitting in a rocking chair on the front porch, then come and talk to me. I said, okay. Have a nice alcoholic, arrogant evening, you know. So they went over, and I'm in my room studying, and all of a sudden I get this bang, 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 bang. Olson, Olson! I open the door, and here he is. How did you know I was going to die tonight? I said, well, you're not dead, are you? I came that close. I came that close, Olson. We were on our way back from Moscow, and we were going to have a head-on accident. It was a miracle that we weren't all killed. And all I could think about was what you said to me. And as soon as I got back, I had to come and... Now I want you to tell me what you tried to tell me. I said, sure, I'd love to. God loved you so much that He sent His Son to go to a cross and pay the penalty for all of your sins. because he did that, because he did all the work, if you simply believe in him, he gives you the gift of eternal life, and you will live with him forever and ever. He said, thank you, Olson. Thank you. He says, that was just unusual. I said, no. You must have some positive signals that went up to God, a God consciousness, because there was no accident that I talked to you before you went over, and there's no accident that you came here after you came back. So it says, redeem the time. You don't know how long you're going to live. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. And therefore, stop being foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Stop being foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then verse 18, stop getting drunk on wine. That's not the Lord's will for your life. Stop getting drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. All sorts of cosmic system function. Instead, keep on being filled with the Spirit. That's the will of God. You see, the spiritual life is a supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power for its execution. That supernatural power is the power of the Spirit of God and the power of the Word of God in your heart. So the filling of the Spirit is a very critical and important part of divine guidance. Ephesians 5:14. Well, we stopped at verse 16. Let's keep going here. Through verse 18. Okay, we did it. Okay. When you get my eyesight, I take my glasses off most of the time. I can see pretty well, but I'm starting to, because I'm 105 years old, I'm starting to get so it gets a little blurry sometimes. So the very fact that God makes his will known to the church age believer in his word tells us how important the word of God is. There's nothing more important than the word of God. 5. The volition of the believer can respond to the will of God or react to the will of God. You have a free will. I can't make anyone believe anything. I wouldn't try to. You can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink. There are those I've given the grace gospel to who have believed in Jesus Christ. They're going to be in heaven. It's going to be fantastic. There are those I've given the gospel to and they reject Jesus Christ. But it's just the same as the Pharisees in the time of Christ. The Pharisees were very religious people, thought they knew everything, thought they were experts. They were the experts on the Mosaic Law and the Old Testament, and they thought they were going to be in heaven because they were so good. They were so nice and so good. But most of them are not in heaven. Most of them are in Hades now, will be in the lake of fire forever and ever. All they had was self-righteousness. They were very impressed with who and what they were, what they were doing. But they did not believe in Jesus Christ. In fact, they crucified Christ. The religious leaders who thought they knew everything and were so good, they crucified Christ. All a part of the plan of God. Because while Christ was on the cross, the sins of the world were paid for once and for all. So that whosoever believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. So the volition of the believer can respond or react to the will of God. It is not the will of God for any believer to be a loser. You do that all by yourself. 6. The will of God is given in its utmost simplicity in 1 John 3:23, which we already turned over and looked at, that all the human race, the will of God for the whole human race is to believe in Jesus Christ. And then the will of God for the ones who believe in Christ is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. 7. The mechanics of the will of God is found in Acts chapter 11. The mechanics of the will of God is found in Acts chapter 11. And there are 7 categories of guidance in there in Acts chapter 11. Guidance through prayer, verse 5. Guidance through prayer, verse 5. Guidance through thinking the truth of the Word of God, verse 6. Guidance through thinking the truth of the Word of God, verse 6. Third, guidance through perception and recall of the Word of God, verses 7 to 10. Guidance through perception and recall of the Word of God, verses 7 through 10. 4, guidance through providential circumstances. For example, the people that you meet, verse 11. There are no accidents in the plan of God. I have seen that over and over again. I have that mental attitude. I don't go knocking door to door. I've never gone knocking door to door. I never will. God guides me to people that He wants to hear truth. Sometimes, and it's anywhere. One time I was home in Spokane, Washington, and flying over to Seattle. I was on a plane, and a fellow sat down in the seat right next to me, and he says, "Aren't you Dick Olson?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Did you run hurdles for Rogers High School in Spokane?" I said, "Yes, I did run hurdles." He said, "I did too. I ran for team out in the valley." I said, "You did." He said, "He recognized me. I told him, it's hard to remember people that are behind me, but anyway." Well, I'm glad you have a sense of humor, because laughing is good for you. Releases the endorphins and heals your body. You know that? Some of you need to laugh more. And so I said, "Do you mind if I talk to you about the most important person in my life?" He said, "No, that'd be great." I said, "It's Jesus Christ." And I said, "He loved you so much that He went to the cross and paid the penalty for all of your sins once and for all. And if you simply believe in Him, He gives you the gift of eternal life." Well, he was getting off. There was one stop from Spokane to Seattle. It was only a 45-minute flight to the Tri-Cities. He was getting off at the Tri-Cities. We were just talked long enough for him to hear the gospel, believe in Jesus Christ, and he did. And he said, "This, thank you so much. This is so neat that you were here and you tell me this." I said, "Well, there are no accidents in the plan of God. God knew you were positive of God consciousness, and He brought you here. And I look, when that happens, I just say, 'Thank you, sir,' and turn it over to God and let Him handle it. That person's going to be in heaven." And I only met him and talked to him for a few minutes on a plane. And it stopped. He got off. I went on to Seattle. 5, guidance through the filling of the Spirit and humility. Verse 12. Guidance through the filling of the Spirit and humility. Verse 12. 6. Guidance through comparison of Scriptures. Comparing Scripture with Scripture. Verses 13 and 14. 7, guidance through recalling Bible doctrine, verse 16. So Psalm 25, verse 4 says, cause me to know your ways, O Lord. Intensively teach me. Yeah, that's the PAL stem, the intensive stem of the Hebrew. Intensively teach me your path. Train me in your ways. Now David's prayer for wisdom and divine guidance continues on to verse 5, Psalm 25, verse 5. Psalm 25:5 in the King James. We always start with the King James. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. All right. We have in verse 5, we have two files. The first half of the verse, we have the hey file, which is the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the second half of the verse, we have the vav file, which is the sixth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet looks like this. And that is the letter hey. Couple of things on the hay file. One, the hay represents a window. Two, this is an open window that enables you to see the will of God for your life. It enables you to see the will of God for your life. Three, God reveals His will through His Word. He reveals His will through His Word. Four, the hay file is the perspective file, the revelation file. Five, it is divine guidance through revelation, the Word of God in the heart of the believer. It is divine guidance through revelation, the Word of God in the heart of the believer. Six, maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart enables you to look at life and the circumstances of life from the divine viewpoint. Maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart enables you to look at life and the circumstances of life from the divine viewpoint. Seven, David is praying for divine guidance. He's praying for divine guidance so that he might look at the historical crisis and disaster of the Absalom Revolution and Civil War from the divine viewpoint. David is praying for divine guidance so that he might look at the historical crisis and disaster of the Absalom Revolution and Civil War from the divine viewpoint. So the hay file is the first half of verse 5, the vav file is the second half of verse 5, and that's where we'll start next week, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If there's anyone who is here this evening without Christ, without hope, without eternal life, we want to make one issue very clear for you. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, He was thinking about you. And every sin you've ever committed, past, present, or future, they were all gathered up by God the Father. They were poured out on Jesus Christ. And they were judged in the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all. And therefore your sins are no longer the issue. The issue is not a sin question. It's a son question. What do you think of Jesus Christ? For the one who simply believes in him, there's the gift of eternal life. For the ones who reject him, eternal condemnation. And right where you're sitting right now, with your heads bowed and with your eyes closed, you have the freedom and the privacy in your own soul to be telling God the Father that you are believing in Jesus Christ. And at that very instant, you pass from death to life, from condemnation to justification. These things were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the sons of God, even to those who believe in him. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. Now, Father, we thank you for the privilege this evening of fellowshipping in the Word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.